Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Make no payments and pay no interest for an entire year during their Fall Into Savings sales event.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number two here on WEEI Afternoons, reliving the glory of the Game 1 win for the Boston Red Sox. Reminder, though, we do have a little football talk here today, and that'll include 3:45, our weekly chat with Adam Schefter about all things Patriots and the NFL as the Patriots get ready for Sunday night football in Buffalo. A little measuring stick against the Bills, but it is 3 o'clock. There are three hosts, and that means it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
180!
319!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident or didn't do any research on the Red Sox before your broadcast, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens. I'm not letting it go. It's 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you'll lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
For sure.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So there were only two players, positional players, on the Red Sox postseason roster that didn't play last night. One of them, Connor Wong, may not play tonight because Alex Cora just told us he's not getting his usual spot catching Brian Baio. The other, David Hamilton, my guy, D-Ham. Well, I was looking at the crystal ball, and I'm starting to have visions. The way this team is built, the way this team is set up, and the way last night's game went and the way the series is going, I can definitely envision what I told you early in the year. D-Ham going to win you some games. He did that during the regular season. And who better to pinch run? And maybe this actually helps Connor Wong get in the game because maybe he pinch runs for Narvaez. You never know. But who better to pinch run late in a game and then maybe steal a base and then maybe score a run from second base, maybe challenge that arm as they did with Aaron Judge with the Sogard double. I can see it. The vision is before me. The little engine that could needs to speed up to get down those tracks. And if you're trying to speed up and steal a base, that's one person you turn to. David Hamilton is going to be one of the heroes of Game 2 in New York. You're going to Toronto on the back of David Hamilton.
There's a greater chance Alexander Hamilton will impact this game for the Red Sox than Dave. Really, how many dirty Shirleys? How many dirty Shirleys did you have before you cooked that one up?
None. I am sober. I may not be when I watch him steal the base.
He's going back to his little Andy days, little boy Andy days, when he watched Dave Roberts in Game 4 of the 2004 ALS steal that base. He wants David Hamilton to have that same impact in this series.
Do you know the Red Sox are 9-1 going back to that stolen base in 10 games against the New York Yankees in the postseason? The best record of any team in the history of baseball against the Yankees in the postseason.
Let's just hope that, you know, that your boy David Hamilton isn't got his back turned when he's got a leadoff at third base.
And can we all have a little pact here? I know you guys want to root against me, but if David Hamilton is, like, putting the batting gloves on, putting the helm, make sure you're not rooting against David Hamilton in the moment. If you see him getting ready and you see Cora stirring, make sure the unified energy of WEEI Afternoons is behind the Red Sox.
No, I'm going to be sitting there going, I hope he pulls a hamstring. I hope he pulls a hamstring.
That's what you would do, so you could come in tomorrow and say, nice job, Andy. You cost us the season because your guy pulled a hamstring.
Yeah, because your guy blew out his sack running between first and second. Come on, dude. Oh,
he'll be just fine. I'm telling you. That's the kind of team this is that uses everybody. We go back to what we were just talking about. That's going to use everybody, and that everybody will have a value, and that Alex Cora, and I know people used to say this about your coach, whether you whatever, Bill Belichick, he puts people in position to succeed, maximizes their strengths, not their weaknesses kind of thing. I feel like if David Hamilton's on the roster and you're in a series, you're in a game like that, he gonna win.
You know what? He probably saw him in the I don't know, the buffet line this morning, saw a look in his eye.
He did.
And he said, you know what? I got to get Dave Hamilton out
that
there.
That guy.
Yeah. I was talking to Lou Merlone earlier this morning. He was like, Fitzy, I don't know. I saw, like, David Hamilton, man. He's got that look.
Yep.
Nope. That didn't happen.
You guys mock because you don't understand the genius that is.
Yes. Genius walks alone, right?
We certainly don't understand the genius, but let the record show that the EEI Afternoons group chat was very positive when Masataka Yoshida came
up and
hit a two-run single yesterday.
I love Yoshida. The guy's awesome. He's out on a scooter sightseeing in New York.
Great
next
smile.
Morning, just like a little kid. He's awesome.
Did I do that?
Andy, your shorts are a little bit low today. Shouldn't you have those cinched up a couple inches?
I've moved on. How does David Hamilton wear his shorts?
I don't know. They're usually stapled to the bench if things are going
well.
Oh!
Wow.
Zing.
Nice one, Dan.
All right, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready, my friends?
We've been talking a lot of baseball. Time to throw some foosball in the equation.
Oh, wow. Well, here's 60 seconds for that. Go ahead.
All right. Obviously, all the attention of Boston sports fandom, Red Sox Nation, and beyond is laser-focused on the mausoleum that is Yankee Stadium 2.0 in the Bronx tonight. Let's go Sox. Wrap it in two. However, regardless of whether we are celebrating or commiserating with the Red Sox this Sunday night, there is a massive football game at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park between your New England Patriots, Drake May, and the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen. And there is a player that I think, save for the Wegmans version of Josh Allen that is Drake May, and of course the MVP that is Josh Allen, I think we need to keep a little extra attention this week on the guy that used to play for Josh Allen and was part of his unlocking and renaissance, that of course being Stephon Diggs, and a guy that just woke up last week and had his first 100-yard game for the New England Patriots in Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, as an X factor for the New England Patriots this Sunday night, should not be discounted. Not only for the fact that he had his best game as a New England Patriot last Sunday, shifting over and playing most of his snaps in the slot, but also the fact that his best game last year with the Houston Texans, 8 receptions for 82 yards, came against the very same Buffalo Bills. And in speaking with the accumulated media today at his locker, spoke lovingly about Buffalo and how badly he wants to get back at them for letting him go. So, big Steph Diggs game Sunday night, calling it.
Can you love a team if you want to get back at them?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Just he show them what they missed out on?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Bingo, Ted. Bingo. Exactly. Look what you're missing out on.
Yeah, you broke up with me. Watch the next girl I'm with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to really love up on her.
Or you dumped me. Watch me get in shape and wear a tight skirt and saunter past you and show you what you're missing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't disregard it, Fitzy, because I've never been divorced, thankfully, yet. But I don't discount this idea because we know Steph Diggs is a very emotional person, a very emotional player.
Would him being vindictive and wanting to do this, Andy, be off brand per se?
Well, I don't even think it's vindictive. I think it's normal. I think it's very normal.
Competitive, we'll say.
To want to stick it to them and stick it to this idea. And he is the guy. Remember, this was making the rounds this week, the little sub-tweet where somebody was like, Josh Allen doesn't need Steph Diggs. And it was an old tweet from back when they were together. And he went into the tweet and replied, you sure?
Yeah.
And that's him. He is a vindictive, if you want to say it, competitive, energetic. He bringing that to the table, and in that environment, it's going to be fueling it.
Let's just look at his production when he was in Buffalo. He was there for 4 years. His first year there, he had 127 catches for 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns. In 2022, he had 103 catches for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. And in 2022, he had 108 catches for almost 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns. And then his last year in Buffalo, he had 107 catches for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. So he was pretty good when he was there.
Oh, he was very good.
His best years were in Buffalo.
Better than I thought he would ever be, honestly.
Oh, for sure.
Hopefully that resonates. And I think after the game last week, and I think Josh McDaniels is starting to see his role, you know, kind of more clearly. I think the production, I would think, was just going to keep going up from here.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's a tough place.
He even told our Megan Ottolini at his outside of his locker today in the Wednesday media chat that he looks forward to being referred to as the David Hamilton of the New England Patriots.
I don't think that's funny, but I will tell you, the 508 texted in, Andy just topped his awful Derrick Henry trade take. You almost have to respect it at this point.
Yeah, no, there's
like,
a level
it's
of
literally once a week, I look forward to your randomly inspired troll game 3-point stance. This one today is outstanding.
But, you know, Andy will walk out
crystal
on the ledge.
Ball.
So many times, and really, 9 times out of 10, he'll fall flat on his face.
Yeah.
But that one time, just that one time that he's right, he will just bask in the glory for eternity.
It's true.
That's how it works.
I'm like a venture capitalist of takes. Like, they need one company that makes it right to make a billion, and that makes all those tens of millions they lost along the way worth it. That's like me on my 3-point stances.
I'm in control.
Great journeys begin with a single leap of faith, Andy.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
Andy Hart, volume shooter for his take.
No doubt.
No wonder he loves Jaylen Brown. All right, Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, Dan.
Sneaky sharp.
All right, here's 60 seconds. I'm glad Fitzy caught that. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to talk about my guy. My guy. We're talking about my guy. Alex Bregman, do not underestimate the impact of one Alex Bregman. Last night, Breggy played in his 100th. Playoff game in his career. He's a two-time World Series champion, of course. And, you know, here's the thing. The Sox, they have three players on the roster that have World Series rings, Alex Bregman, Aroldis Chapman, and Nathaniel Lowe. And even though the profile of this team is a young team, the fact that you have the leadership from Chapman and Alex Bregman in particular, that is what you need to know. This Alex Bregman, we talked to Alex Cora earlier today. He said Bregman was already on the 12 o'clock bus over to the stadium. He's getting those guys right. He's getting them in the frame of mind that they need to be. So this is a guy that has really helped carry this team all season long, except for that 1 5-week period that he had where he was hurt. But Alex Bregman, the 100 playoff game player and the 2-time World Series champion, is going to be the big reason that they get far into the playoffs. So do not, under any circumstance, underestimate the impact of Alex Bregman, also known as St. Bregman.
Alex, he's the leader of the team. This guy is locked in. We just took the 12:30 bus, and he's there with us, just going over game planning, what Rodon has done the last 2 weeks, how he's going to approach it, and this is what he does.
That's what he does.
I don't know who's more locked in, St. Bregman or Ted.
He didn't say Roman Anthony.
I thought for sure he starts playing My Girl in the background. It might derail you a little bit. Then you got the My Girl and the buzzer at the end.
Just a pro, just kept going.
You just put the big old neck and head down and plowed through it. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks, bud.
And you're right. He got the boos early, which I think right there is just an indication of who he is walking into Yankee Stadium. The boos and the fans are on it from get-go. I did think it was a pretty good crowd early, actually. Yeah. I thought they sounded like they were really into that game early, basically every pitch. They basically complained about every pitch.
I can't get enough of the shots of the stands of both in the Fenway and in Yankee Stadium. I just like to see the reaction of the fans. They're classic, and they always show fans that are your prototypical fans of that fan base.
Well, how about the one Yankee guy who had the jersey on backwards? What the hell was that all about?
Oh, I missed that.
His hands through it, and so
he had a lot going on.
The buttons were in the back, and it was like scrubs for him. He put it on. I think it might have been a 99 Judge jersey.
Well, it was probably because he was chiller than he imagined, so that was how he kept his hands warm.
I should have brought a sweater.
Then there was,
by the way, there is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing I enjoy, because you know sometimes sports schadenfreude, can be such a delicious thing. When your team wins, the next day you watch a little TV, check out their internet, listen to their sports radio. From the meltdowns on WFAN today, our sister station in New York, to all the different videos, some of which we shared in our opening montage, of Yankee fans just losing their blank over last night, not only pulling Fried early, but losing the lead and then not scoring in the ninth. I cannot get enough. I will never, ever, ever be able to get enough of Yankee fans melting down.
Oh, it's the best. And can you imagine fans today on talk radio there? I mean, they, you know, Aaron Boone was defending that decision. And, you know, they called it a blueprint decision. Like, it was what we talked about, what makes Alex Cora different in the playoffs, that Alex Cora goes into the game and he kind of feels the game. He's got gut instinct. He makes decisions kind of in game. Where Boone he made that decision at 2 o'clock yesterday to put Luke Weaver in the game when he did.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Tucker did not score 3 singles in a row.
I will say, I find it weird. You know, if stars want to do it and it's social media and it's content, I find that okay. But have you, like, all these people, and they've done it, Fitzy, going back to Patriots games, and people will smash it. Like, people set up cameras or their phone to record their own reaction. I don't really care. I don't really need to see that. I don't really get that. This whole modern content world thing.
Yep.
Just be happy or be sad.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Watch alongs and then reaction videos. Yeah. How could you do that?
Lineup is out.
Let's go. Same as yesterday, except Narvaez a catcher.
Which is the same as yesterday, if we're being technical. Yeah, rest night of your DH. Story at short, Bregman at third, Romy at first, Narvaez your catcher, Eaton in right, Duran in left, Rafael in center, Sogard at second, and Brian Bayo on the mound.
You didn't say Hamilton.
I did not, because he's a pinch runner, and that is how he's going to make Andy's dreams come true.
But yeah, no,
you don't start Hamilton. You bring him in late in the game.
That would be ridiculous.
You kind of hope you don't have to play him, but if you do, you bring him in late.
Yeah,
right. I am glad that followed through, though, because we have had our ups and downs over the course of the season with Alex Cora telling us things that may or may not come to actual fruition. But so the lineup is the same. Oh, absolutely. We're on, and we're going to hopefully talk to him next Wednesday. Amen to that. Amen. I believe was his response to him joining us next Wednesday. Hopefully, in the midst of a series with the Toronto Blue Jays, we do have a little update out of Cleveland, where the Guardians and the Tigers are tied 1-1 in the seventh inning. So we're continuing in the American League East, at least, of fun playoff baseball, like legit. Because to me, this is playoff baseball. Whatever that score was last night, Dodgers Red 10-5, I think may have been the final. That's not playoff baseball. Probably shows you that the Reds really shouldn't be in the playoffs. This is playoff baseball. You know, a 2-1 game, a 1-0 game that becomes a 2-1 game, and then a 1-1 game here in Detroit. This is what we'd missed for 4 years.
Did we like the 6 o'clock tip off? First pitch?
Which part of me? I don't know. The part of me that sat in traffic. Apparently when you get out of work earlier, the traffic is worse, and it takes you longer to get home.
Yeah. Can confirm.
But it was nice, like, you know, when we were texting in that last inning when it was intense, and boy, as a newer sports fan, talk about an intense 15, 20 minutes. But it was nice that the game got over and it was like 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
right
there, you know? You knew it was early because I was responding to those texts. Because you guys have those and I've been asleep for 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
But you know, Red Sox-Yankees is also back because that game took over 3 hours last night.
That's playoffs. I think that's going to naturally happen. And although ESPN wasn't ready because ESPN missed some returns from commercials, right, Dan Ball?
What happened? You're telling me the ESPN broadcast was subpar? That's news to me.
And they also had some, the one thing I find unacceptable, like the weird audio issues. Like, your ESPN, you're the biggest gorilla in the room. You could have any, you should have 8 extra whatevers to make sure if the first 7 don't work, the 8th one. You know what they should have done? Had Doug Lane take care of it. Because I was listening to the WEEI broadcast, and the ambient sound, the parabolics, however we get it at baseball stadiums, was on point. And the broadcast with Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Merlone was also great. And you'll have that same crew tonight, the three-man booth. We even gave you, if you follow WEEI on socials, the look at when Lou got a little anxious. He had to stand up, and he had to take the fleece off. And I love the impact that he thinks he has on the game the ex-player in him, the superstition.
I guess he was kind of a wreck all day yesterday. Wasn't fun to talk to. And it's weird. There is a Pavlovian response, even though you don't play anymore. you get these feelings that you used to get when you played, even though you're covering the team. It's still there, man.
And especially for him in the Red Sox organization. You're at Fenway Park every day. You're around Red Sox players every day, just like you were when you were playing them. I think he talked about 99 was his first experience against the Yankees in that situation. Yep. So you're talking about 30 years. He's had a certain feeling in uniform of Red Sox Yankees, and he's now still a member of the Red Sox travel party going to New York to take on the Yankees in the playoffs at Yankee Stadium.
And I'll do this as my gratuitous time to just say everything you've been saying. I think that broadcast is the best. I can't imagine a better listening, kind of thing than listening to those guys. They do a great job. They don't stumble over each other, and they all bring it with each bring a different kind of viewpoint, which I absolutely love.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take phone calls on the Boston Red Sox big game one victory. How you feeling heading into game two? Are you nervous, or are you like me and you think it's going to be David Hamilton leading the way to a game two sweep as you head to Toronto for the ALDS? Up next, though, Fitzy touched on it in his three-point stance. We do have a big football game on Sunday night. Patriots at Bills on Sunday Night Football. A measuring stick game for the Patriots, but also maybe for their quarterback going against Josh Allen, the guy he's often compared to. A little Patriots chatter up next, leading into 3:45, Adam Schefter. That's all here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Boston Prolo Therapy. The Red Sox took a 1-0 series lead in their American League wildcard series against the New York Yankees in the Bronx. The final score was 3-1. Garrett Crochet went 7 2/3 innings to pick up the win. His 11 strikeouts set a Red Sox postseason record for Ks by a left-handed pitcher. Aroldis Chapman then recorded the save. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 6:08. Brian Baio starts opposite Carlos Rodon. Here is your lineup for tonight as the Red Sox run back the same nine with Rob Refsnyder as your DH leading off. Trevor Story at short, Alex Bregman at third, Romy Gonzalez at first with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Nate Eaton in right, Jaron Duran in left, Sadon Rafaela in center, and Nick Sogard at second, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arkin tonight at 5:08, and Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Maloney have the call of the game. From around Major League Baseball, top half of the seventh inning, the Guardians and the Tigers are tied at one run apiece in Game 2 of their series. In the NL, the Padres lead the Cubs 1-0 after half an inning. Andrew Kittredge opens for the Cubs with Dylan Cease starting for the Padres. Chicago leads 1-0. And in the late game, the Reds visit the Dodgers for a Game 2 as well. First pitches at 9:08. Zach Littell against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. LA leads 1-0. And from around the league, Brian Snitker will not return as manager after Atlanta failed to make the postseason for the first time since 2017. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England begins a three-game road trip in Buffalo against the Bills on Sunday night. Buffalo is 4-0 and has scored at least 30 points in every game. From earlier today, Patriots corner and punt returner Marcus Jones, and friend of WEEI Afternoons, was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And from around the league, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill will not need another surgery after undergoing a major procedure yesterday to repair his dislocated left knee and multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL. He does plan to play next season. And the Browns are benching quarterback Joe Flacco and will turn to rookie Dylan Gabriel as their starter for Sunday's game in London against the Vikings. If your doctor said surgery was the only solution for your joint pain, get a second opinion. Do what Ted Johnson and thousands of others have done. Eliminate your joint pain with Boston Prolo Therapy. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Proud of you, man. You're doing a good job. We're just getting started.
Hey, play to our identity. Don't beat ourselves. We got a chance every week, man. Got a chance every week now. Let's get after him next week. Pass on me. Pass on three. One, two, three. Pass.
I just realized something.
What do you got?
That was Drake May before this last game, I'm assuming?
So that was Drake May after the last game with Josh McDaniels, mic'd up on the sideline. Yep.
Okay. Even better.
They're
even
just getting
better.
Started.
Even better. Have we ever heard of a cut like that from him before? Have you ever heard him?
I don't think so.
Say something like that?
We haven't had a lot of successful options for that.
Well, because he hasn't been winning games.
Right.
Now he's starting to play good. They are 2-0 when he doesn't turn the ball over, and he had his best performance after that last game. So you're going to probably start hearing more and more of those types of sound bites.
Love it.
He's going to. This is the beginning of some leadership that we've all been wanting, but it's hard when you're not winning as a quarterback to be that leader. Now he's starting to win. He's starting to play good. He's starting to feel good. You're going to see here probably more and more of those kind of sound bites coming from Drake May.
And that last part of it was him in the center of the team in the locker room, getting the team up after the victory.
Love
which
it.
Is also part of the leadership.
Sounds
the
very natural. He wasn't stumbling and bumbling. He
no.
Was
he's
concise
comfortable.
And clear. Yeah.
Also,
he's
easier to be natural when you're good.
And he also said, Andy, don't forget, on our Monday chat with him 2 weeks ago, we asked him about like leadership and being vocal, and he told us that his voice in that huddle is very important and that it is important that he speak up and be more vocal. So he's acknowledged it, Ted. He understands what his role is in this offense, and he's gaining confidence and momentum by the game and by the day. And he's going to need all of that and then some Sunday night when he can barely hear himself think in Helms Deep up in Orchard Park.
Yeah, this is has the potential to be a fun one. Like, we're talking about Red Sox, Yankees, Yankee Stadium, and not that the Patriots are on that level yet, like this is a would-be playoff game. But the environment, if you believe the Patriots are building under Mike Vrabel and trending in a certain direction, this is a trip where they can figure some things out about themselves, how they handle the adversity, the Buffalo Mafia, the Bills Mafia, even just the energy of the night game on the road. You know, Ted, that's a place where the buses pull through. They're throwing stuff at the buses. Oh. They're flipping birds. They're doing
the best.
Crazy.
The best.
It is the best.
They got all the RVs that they tailgate
yep.
with. I mean, it's a lot of players had their own RVs. So it's the biggest tailgating, team in the NFL, I think.
Mm-hmm. And for Drake May, coming off three good games in a row, to now be going up to Buffalo against Josh Allen, although, yes, you're not playing against Josh Allen, you're playing against the Bills' defense. You are kind of playing against Josh Allen, because when I look at the Bills, Fitzy, through four games, I see, first of all, four in the victory column, and I see points scored 31, 31, 30, 41. Hey, Drake, I think you're going to need to score 30 if you expect to be in this football game. So you kind of are going against Josh Allen, aren't you?
In a lot of ways, yeah. And you know what else they have? A compliment. They have a good lead back. James Cook doesn't put the ball in the carpet the way Ramondre does.
Oh, he hasn't in weeks.
It's been a while. They've got good tight ends, just like the Patriots do. Knox and Kincaid, just like Hunter Henry and Hooper. And they've got a complimentary room of receivers. I wouldn't say that the receiver room for the Buffalo Bills is that much greater than symbol the New England Patriots, would you?
No. I mean, I think right now, if Stephon Diggs is trending in the direction we think slash hope he is trending in, I think you can make an argument that the Patriots have a better wide receiver room, that he could be the wide receiver one in this game. If last week was not an aberration but a building of momentum and knocking off of rust, you can absolutely believe that you have the better wide receiver room, which I don't even know the last time we even pondered saying that in any game over the last 3 years.
Where we don't have the advantage, I think, is the running back. If you look at what James Cook has done, he's averaging 122 all-purpose yards every game.
That's good.
And they average about 450 yards a game. So, that's just a little over one-fourth of the offense. But still, that's a big part of their offense. I think James Cook just running the ball. He's running at 5.3 yards per clip, which is probably, my guess, might be the highest in the NFL. So That's a guy I would put a lot of attention to.
Sure, but we suddenly have linebackers that are running all over the field, making plays, making tackles, don't we? Didn't we talk about that yesterday, Ted?
Can I give you a little comparison? So Drake May played the Bills last year one time. Okay, I think it was
played him well.
Third to last. He was 22 of 36, 261 yards, two touchdowns, an interception, and two sacks.
Didn't he also fumble?
I'm not going to scroll down.
I think there may have been a fumble deep in the Pats red zone.
Let's not worry about that. And then you got
okay, Schrager.
Right, Schrags.
What did Josh Allen do? Well, he was 16 of 29 for 154 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. So, I mean, if you're talking about who outperformed who, I mean, it looked like Drake May had the better game last year.
Oh, Teddy feeling a little something. He's feeling it with Drake May.
I'm sitting there in the post game, and I was asked by Michael Holly, you know, what were the expectations for this game coming up? And I said, just be competitive. You know, it's like, what am I doing? I would never have said that as a player.
Whoa, so what are you saying?
I'm saying, you know what? The Saints kept, they were in that game for three and a half quarters until they weren't. You know. This game is not impossible to win, is what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
That's what I'm trying to say. I think they have a better chance of winning this game based off of last week's performance and the performance against the Miami Dolphins than maybe I was at first giving them credit for.
Wow. By Friday, you might be picking the Pats.
You'll have to tune in to find out. Baby.
Watch out. If he gets a little bit of that sweet victory high from the Red Sox tonight, we are going to be unstoppable and insufferable.
Can I play one of my little quick impromptu more likely games? More likely the Patriots win or turn it over multiple times?
Multiple times?
Yep, that'd be more than one.
I would say, I'm going to say probably the latter.
Yeah, and that's my concern because I think if they play a clean game, you're right. The Saints hung with them. Like, your defense is starting to figure itself out with Christian Gonzalez out there. The guy's up the middle. Like, Milton Williams, this could be a sneaky Milton Williams game because he's a big athletic guy. I go back to that play in, was it the Washington preseason game, Ted, where he was out in space and he made that open field tackle. He's the kind of guy that could surprise Josh Allen. Like, one of those rushes where he's, like, normally used to just like, oh, I'm going to go. Oh, Milton Williams is a pretty good athlete. Milton Williams just tackled me for a one-yard loss, one of those cheap sacks. So if you play clean, I think you have a chance in this football game. Like, I kind of agree with you. Now, my issue is, I don't know if I trust you. Tom Curran said it, and we'll talk to Tom Curran tomorrow, 3:30, here on WEEI Afternoons. He said on Jones and Keefe something to the effect, I think this team still has a little stupid left in it, meaning mistakes, turnovers, dumb penalties.
Yeah.
And you can't have that in Buffalo.
One game doesn't erase that.
Yeah, not a trend yet.
But they performed well. The point I was trying to make is last year with a lesser roster, they played, I mean, they held them to, you know, they lost 21-24. They played them better than you would have thought last year.
And yeah, Fitzy, they were up 14-0.
There is always that belief that the Patriots usually steal a game from the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, that theoretically the Bills have won the division 5 years in a row, I think it is, that you shouldn't hang with them. But then in most seasons, you're like, they do find a way to steal a game somehow, some way. So Sunday night football, the Bills wearing their, what are they calling them, Fitzy?
The rivalry uniforms. The iced out Bills rivalry.
They are nice. Have you seen those, Ted? You like those?
They're sharp.
They're
like
clean.
The whole
stadium, by the way, they're passing out white towels to everyone, encouraging everybody to dress in all white. So it's
like going to
look like a giant Klan rally, honestly.
Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we'll talk to our guy Adam Schefter, ESPN. That's up next. Stick with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons and straight to the guest line where we talk to Adam Schefter of ESPN. Adam is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Adam Schefter, how are you doing this week?
Andy, Nick, Ted, what's going on, guys?
We're good.
So we're coming off a fun victory, a blowout victory, Gillette Stadium win. Yeah. Haven't had one of those in a while. Don't care who the opposing team is. And now we head to Buffalo Sunday night. Yeah. So let's get it out of the way. Drake May versus Josh Allen. Are the comparisons that we make between our young quarterback and their MVP quarterback worthwhile, or are we getting a little too far ahead of ourselves?
Well, you're probably getting a little carried away right now. I haven't heard exactly what you said, and Drake May is still ascending and growing and has the chance to be a special quarterback, but he's not there yet. Josh Allen is the reigning MVP and a special player. He has proven he's a special player. He's still trying to get to the Super Bowl and win that, which obviously would change the conversation further. But, you know, we haven't seen enough of Drake May to put him into that category yet. He has that talent. He has that potential. But to me, he's not there yet.
Hey, Adam, you saw Steph Diggs last Sunday have his first 100-yard game for the Patriots this season. You know, he's fourth in catching percentage. He's having a huge impact. He's playing slot. He's playing X. He's playing Z. And considering he had an ACL tear last October, are you surprised to see him out there and being as effective as he is?
You know, it's funny. I remember when we initially reported that he was signing with the Patriots, and we could go back and look at the record, but I had a tweet that night that said that the belief was that he had a chance to be ready for opening day to contribute early. And that's kind of what happened. It took to the fourth week of the season before he really made a big mark. But, yeah, he's been ready to play. And I think he was ahead of schedule, and he surprised some people, but he's an elite receiver. And he looked good last week, so they need more of that to try to beat the Buffalo Bills Sunday night.
Adam, it seems like some of the stars that are often the marquee promoted players in the MVP conversation are kind of struggling a little bit this season thus far. Lamar, Mahomes, etc. In your estimation, is Josh Allen the best player in the NFL right now?
I think he's been the best player in the NFL this season so far. Now, you could make an argument for some other people. Puka Nacua has been incredible, but it's a quarterback-driven award largely, and Josh has been the quarterback of an unbeaten team. There are two unbeaten teams left, the Bills and the Eagles. So, again, we come back to a quarterback, we come back to winning teams, we come back to history and production, and he checks the boxes on all of those things, all of them, right?
Adam Schefter, ESPN, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. You bring up the Eagles, undefeated Eagles, defending champs, that whole thing. There seems like there's a weirdness there because I think it was about 10 days ago I saw Drew Brees talking about how he finds that offense boring. He doesn't like to watch it. Not his kind of offense. You have A.J. Brown going to social media, kind of, you know, venting, I guess, lack of role in the offense. They keep winning, but what do you think of this whole weirdness with their offense that's going on?
Well, I think it's pretty incredible, and I did a little piece of this on my podcast this week, but they now have 63 players, or there are 63 players, who have more receiving yards this season than A.J. Brown's 151. There are 24 quarterbacks who have more passing yards than Jalen Hurts' 609 passing yards. There are 21 players who have more yards from scrimmage than Saquon Barkley's 307. Jalen Carter has yet to record a sack. The Eagles have been outgained by 327 yards this season, which is the fourth worst margin in the NFL, and they're unbeaten. So again, A.J. Brown hasn't gotten on track. Jalen hasn't passed the ball well. Saquon has been mid. Jalen Carter, no sacks. They've been outgained by an average of over 75 yards per game, 80 yards per game. Their average being outgained by, and they're unbeaten.
Oof.
Explain that.
That's scary. That's scary, Adam. You know, we talked last week a little bit about that Ravens-Chiefs matchup, and it was interesting to me that the Ravens were number one in points per game at like 37, and the Chiefs were way down the list at averaging only 20 points per game, and that was the exact score, the Chiefs 37, the Ravens 20. It was an opposite teams, and they flipped that position. So you got the Ravens that are 1-3 right now. I think the teams that have started 1-3 have a 13.4% chance of making the playoffs. What do you think about that Ravens team? Will they figure some things out, or you think what's happening to them is just a flaw in the ointment in that defense, and they don't have a chance to get there this year?
I think, look, they have such a strong track record that you always count on them bouncing back, but what I've seen through a quarter of the season has not been typical Ravens football. The defense has been outplayed. It's gotten out physical. They don't get turnovers. They make mistakes. They can't get key stops. They're not getting pressure. Like, all the things that could go wrong for a football team that you don't want, that's what they've been doing. And it's just been very atypical. You know, they've given up over 35 points per game each, or three of their first four games. That's already tied for a single season franchise record, and we're four games into the season. Four. So they're tracking to be amongst, if not the worst defensive team that we've ever seen for the Baltimore Ravens. That's how bad they've been. Wow. And the problem is now they got a lot of injuries. There were 10 players, 10 starters, who either didn't play Sunday or who left the game with injury. Doesn't look like Lamar's playing this week. Doesn't look that way. Nnamdi Madubuike, their franchise defense, he's out for the year with a neck injury. Roquan Smith's not playing. Like, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing with their division is Cleveland's not going to run away with it. Cincinnati's not going to run away with it. And Pittsburgh is, you know, Pittsburgh. So we'll see. It's a substandard weak division right now. But yeah, right now it's not great.
Speaking of the AFC North and teams that don't look great, the Cincinnati Bengals are a mess, and I think that's putting it kindly. Yes. The offensive line is a disaster. The defense they've invested in premium positions, and now they don't have the quarterback to go with it. So, Adam, that leads me to ask, do you think there's any chance, especially from a team that could use a wide receiver one, like, oh, I don't know, T. Higgins, you think there's any chance the Bengals by the deadline could go into sell-off mode?
Well, I would say this. You know, I've actually was on the phone with a couple of teams today, and they're like, that's what the Bengals should do. That's what they should do. But that's also not the way the Bengals have operated. Now, again, what gives there? And also, I think they probably don't think, you know, like we're thinking, and they think they're going to turn it around and win games. They're 2-2. You know, it feels like 0-4, and it feels like the worst team in football because the last two losses have been at Minnesota and at Denver, and they've been ugly, ugly. But they're probably thinking we're going to get this turned around. So, no, we're not trading our guys. But I can tell you that there are already other teams that are thinking, would they trade their guys, and just kind of monitoring things.
Time now to get this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Adam, we've seen a nice little uptick pretty much for three straight weeks here with the Patriots offense. If you kind of ignore the turnovers in the Steelers game, they moved the ball really well, made some plays. And I'm wondering, do you think that is Drake getting comfortable in Josh's offense, or do you think Josh might be getting more comfortable with this new age quarterback that he has that is a lot different than some of the guys he's had in the past?
Well, maybe it's a combination of both. You know, I don't know if I've said this. Maybe I haven't. Forgive me if I have. But I'm in two fantasy football leagues, and the quarterback of both my teams and the quarterback of my daughter's fantasy football team is Drake May. So, you know, the Schefters believe in Drake May, for the record, and we're happy to see this. We're happy to see this uptick in production, and we certainly are rooting for more of it, especially Sunday night in Buffalo. But I just think it's a combination of him getting comfortable in Josh's offense, Josh getting a better feel for him, and when you talk to the people in that organization, you know, the sense I've gotten is that, you know, they feel like he has the chance to develop into a special quarterback. He's young. It's just starting out. It's early, but he's got a chance to be really good. And he's played well. He's played well. But he's got to keep building upon that and get better and better. And I do think Sunday night is one of these big stages that he'll have an opportunity to have every now and then. You know, the Patriots are like the designated 1 o'clock team, but they're on a Sunday night. It's a rare, maybe the only primetime game for them right now. And it's a chance for Drake May to show the whole country, hey, you know, you're warranted to pick me up on both your fantasy teams.
All right, Adam, thanks for joining us. Good luck to all the Schefter family fantasy football teams, because if they win, it means Drake May probably had a good night, and Patriots fans will be happy.
We're all in this together. We're all in this together.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Love that.
So are we all rooting for the Red Sox in Game 2 tonight as well?
I'm not going to go that far, but we're all in for it.
All right. Thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See ya.
That was Adam Schefter, ESPN, a noted, apparently, invested Drake May fan as Patriots head to Buffalo.
He probably put a little of his own scuttle up to play these fantasy leagues, so you know, got a little money riding
He's
on Drake.
He's invested in Drake May like the rest of us are. 617-779-7937. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we get back to the Boston Red Sox. Adam Schefter may not be all in on the Sox, but we are. We'll talk about this matchup. Game 2, Bayo on the mound without his preferred catcher. Does it matter? Are you worried? 617-779-7937. That's next on WEEI Afternoons.
No, the Schefters believe in Drake May, for the record.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.